Hello, everyone. How is everyone tonight? I just got my hair done. 5 week hair. It has some blonde in it. That is what is on tap for today. A little bit of caramelly, whatever the heck it is. Whatever color this is, that's what color it is. So I hope everyone is doing well. It is a Q&A tonight. So there will not be coaching. There will just be answers to questions that you have. You can post them in the Q&A box at the bottom of your screen. And if you would like to talk to one another, use the chat on the right-hand side of your screen. And make sure that you have selected all panelists and attendees so that everyone can see what you're saying and everyone, y'all can talk amongst yourselves. So that is what is on tap for this evening. We will be here for about an hour. And if we don't have any questions, we'll get out of here early. That's how it works. We went over last week. Thank you. Yeah, I just got it done. I just got home a few minutes ago. So, yeah. Is anyone else having trouble hearing me? Laura says she is having trouble. Is anyone else having trouble hearing me? Let me know in the, okay. So maybe Laura, you could hop out and hop right back in and that might help you. Sometimes that works. It's kind of like unplugging and then replugging. So yeah, you can do that. So if you have any questions, you can start posting them in the Q&A box and I will answer them as they come in. And yeah, that's all that's going on with me. My daughter's, you know, spring break is almost over. So she will be, you know, headed back. And I'm going to Nashville next week for a wedding. I'm super excited. So I have all kinds of stuff going on. So it's a good week or two for me. So yeah, y'all don't have any questions today? That is very strange. Y'all are usually very chatty over here in this Q&A box. I have been, well, I'm going through my second time of reading Chasing Cupcakes. If anyone has not read it, it is so good. It is so good. It is really, I don't know. I don't know the last time I've read a book twice. I really don't know. I don't think that has like in my life ever happened. So I love it. I love it, love it, love it. Here it is. I'll show it to you. I listened to it on Audible, and now I am reading it. Chasing Cupcakes, Elizabeth Benton. If you've not read it, she doesn't use the model, but basically she is talking a lot about, you know, that your thoughts, you know, drive your feelings, drive your actions. She doesn't call it the model, but it really is. It's really, really good. Oh, my other camera just turned off. She does have a podcast too. Oh my gosh. So good. So, so good. So, all right. So Allison, she wants to do a model about the coronavirus. I would love to do a model about the coronavirus. So, the coronavirus is a circumstance. She is right. And I have anxious feelings. So Allison, what are your thoughts about the coronavirus? So let us just post in the Q&A what your thought is. And y'all know I'm not the best writer in the whole wide world, but I'm going to do my very, very best. I think Corinne and I sometimes are the same about writing. She always says she's a terrible scribe. Me too. Me too. So, Allison, post your thoughts about the coronavirus. What are you thinking about it? Everything is getting crazy. School might close. I'm a teacher. So, everything is getting crazy. And then go ahead, Allison, and post, you know, what does that make you do or not do? So, y'all, I'm so terrible with this. Just by the way, y'all forgive me way ahead of time. So, circumstance, coronavirus, y'all all know what that is. Thought, everything is getting crazy. trying to write nice, y'all. Crazy. Can y'all see that? Oh, here. I'll scoot you. Look, it's so bad. It's so bad. You said your feeling was anxious. Action. Oh, I did two different things. A thing and a dot. Let me see if you stress, eat, worry. And then your result is that you drive yourself crazy. So really what is happening though with all of these models, you know, I mean, most people are gonna put anxious, worried, whatever in the feeling line, then that all applies. And then you can kind of insert your thought. But this is what I want to show you. So you think that you are anxious about the coronavirus because it's out there, the government has spoken, all the things have happened. But whenever I think about the coronavirus, I think it's all going to work itself out. I've always figured everything out. I'm going to figure this out. So the coronavirus really does not make you feel anything. It's the thought that you're having about the coronavirus that is causing you to feel anxious, right? So remember, a circumstance is neutral. Like, this is just a virus. People have gotten sick from it, right? And it is just, it's just out there. It's just a virus. It's just a circumstance, right? So it is neutral until you have a thought about it. So it has no control over you whatsoever until you start to think something. Right now you're thinking everything is getting crazy, and that is what is causing your anxiety, right? So, and then when you feel anxious about this thought, you start to eat, you stress, you worry, you spin out, whatever it is that you're doing, and then you just drive yourself crazy in your own head, right? So, yeah, and I am not in any way suggesting that we need to go to rainbows and daisies over the coronavirus. We don't all need a unicorn thought, you know, like mine is not, you know, I'm not going to get sick. My family's going to be helped. None of that is going on in my mind. In my mind right now, I've always figured everything out. And it's always been true for me. And so that is a great thought for me to have about it. So why don't y'all put in the chat, I'll look over in the chat for a second. And Allison, you post yours in the Q&A. So what is a thought that you would willing to be, you would be willing to level up your whatever your negative thought is that you're having around the coronavirus? It does, like I said, it doesn't have to be, and everybody lived happily ever after. That's not what we're going for, right? We're going for something that will bring the temperature down just a little bit so that we are not feeling as anxious and we don't, you know, mess our own selves up through this whole process. So Brittany says, I've gotten through every illness I've ever had. That's exactly right. In 8 months, we won't be thinking about this. That's great. That takes that anxiety down, right? So, yeah, I can manage my thoughts over this. So it's not, that's what I want y'all to see. That's so important. The coronavirus, which is just a circumstance, is not what is causing you anxiety. It is the way that you, the way, whatever your thought is about it, is that is what is causing the anxiety. Let's see what else they say. The last pandemic I saw was in 1968, the year I was born. Life moved on from that one and will from this one also. That's exactly right. Allison, yeah, we can do an intentional model. That's what you need help with. So Allison, what from everything is getting crazy, what is a thought that you are willing to level up with? Like, you know, I've already mentioned some over here. I don't want to give you a thought. I would like for you to come up with a thought. And let me know what you're willing to level up to. You know, like I said, mine is, you know, everything always works out. Somebody says I'm focusing on my thoughts and my choices today. That's a great one, right? It like puts you in the right now, not what's going to happen, you know, with the rest of it, you know, it's just right now I can control what goes on with myself, my mind, my choices today. I will be okay. Yeah. Right. That's a good one, Allison. I will be okay. So let's do that. And then you probably are not, we'll get rid of all this down here.
Yeah.
Now you get to watch me handwrite again. You're welcome. I will be okay. All right, Allison. You're on the hot seat. It doesn't have to feel true. Right? I am willing to take the temperature down and start to believe that I will be okay. Like a ladder thought, right? Or, you know, I believe everything will work out. I'm open to believing that everything will work out. Because y'all, the intentional model is not always believable when we start to do it. But a lot of times what you can do is just add that little bit of a ladder in there in front. Or let's go ahead and finish up this model, Allison. And sometimes just doing some of the actions while reminding yourself of what, why you're doing it. I'm doing this because I'm going to be okay. Sometimes will help you like live into it. It's almost like as if, like acting as if. I did that a lot when I was losing my weight. I just, you know, I had my intentional model and it was not 100% true for me, but I knew what that person did. And I'd be like, I don't believe it, but I'm going to do it, right? I don't believe that this is going to all work out, but I'm going to do it. So, yeah. So Allison, so if you think either I will be okay, or I'm open to believing that everything is going to work out, or I'm open to believing that I will be okay, or I'm willing to believe that I will be okay, or I'm working on the thought that I will be okay. Those are all like really good ladder thoughts that you can use to help you level up that thought. So when you think those things, either the thought that we've listed or one of those ladder thoughts, how do you feel, Allison? What does that thought make you feel? And let us know. I think that's a great one, you know? I'm open to believing that I will be okay, or I'm willing to think that I'm working on believing. That's always such a good one. I'm working on believing that I will be okay. And it gives you that thought, but you don't quite have to believe it yet. It's like, maybe it might be coming. Calm. Yes. Peaceful, in control. Now, which one, Allison, is like, this is the one, this is the feeling. We just want one feeling. I mean, I'll give you a couple. Well, I'll give you two in this case. Let's do calm and in control, right? Calm, in control. Whoops, see, I told y'all. All right. So I am working on the, so you have coronavirus. And then you can even say, I am working on believing the thought that I will be okay. That makes you feel calm and in control. And then, so a person who is calm and in control and believes, is starting to believe that they're going to be okay, what do they do or not do? They probably we'll just list some actions of this person. What do y'all think in the chat? What does this person do or not do? They probably stay in their own lane and continue on like they've been. So you stay in your lane. That's like, and you want to be as healthy as you can be so you can be okay. So you are probably still eating well, getting all of your water, resting, following your hunger so that you can be, and physically that you are fueling your body so that it can continue to be healthy. Because that's so important whenever you're looking at, you know, trying to not be sick, right? Is to keep your body in the best shape possible. So we'll just put the four basics here, but we know that means like, you know, kind of taking care, eating well, getting your rest, getting your water, all of that kind of stuff goes along with it. And then your result, well, what else are you doing? You are calming your family. You're not adding to their stress, right? Because that's important. So you're calming your family, taking care of them. And then your result is you are okay. Now look, this does not say that I am, you know, smiling from ear to ear and I am like in a, you know, the sun is coming up rainbows and daisies. It's none of that stuff. You are okay. You are moving forward. You are doing the things that you need to do to take care of yourself and the people that you love. That's what, and okay can be, you know, I show up as a person who is ready to take care of herself and those she loves. I mean, that is really your result, right? Because you can blow it out in any way that, you know, whatever that looks like for you. So, yeah. And see, again, we still have that same circumstance. Nothing changed. The only thing that changed is what you're thinking about it, which changed this whole entire model, right? So if you choose to think you're going to be okay, then coronavirus, you can see clearly, it does not drive your feeling, because coronavirus is not making you calm and in control. It's this thought. I'm open to believing that I will be okay, or I'm working on believing that I will be okay. So, Allison, I hope that helped you. And if you have any other questions, post them in the chat and I won't even erase this. I'll move it over to the side. If we need to revisit it again, I will be more than happy to. All right. Let me see. I'm going to get rid of this back and forth that I had with Allison. I hope that helped everyone. I know that that is, you know, it's on a lot of people's mind, right? It's on a lot of people's mind. Okay. Let me see. All right, let's get on with these questions. Anonymous. I feel like I ask this question a lot, but can you tell me how PMP has changed you, level up, improve other areas of your life? I feel like this could be huge for me, but how do I harness that? I'm being quite honest. It starts with the 24-hour plan. That's a commitment that you make to yourself. That teaches you what it looks like to say every morning, this is what I'm going to do, even when it is uncomfortable. And even when I have an urge, I'm going to follow this plan because I've made it with my best self and my best self has made this plan for me and I'm going to trust myself and I'm going to follow this plan. And then every time you do that, you're collecting evidence that you can do what you say you will do. And then whenever you're at work and you have something going on and it's uncomfortable and you don't want to do it, you have already built the muscle in your mind that you just do what you say you're going to do, even though sometimes it may be uncomfortable. I mean, that really was what started it for me. you know, just getting up in the morning at 5 o'clock to go out and exercise. I couldn't have done that unless I had some practice making my 24-hour plan and proving to myself that I could get in my water, that I could keep the promises to myself, that I could go to bed on time. And then I was willing to add it to something else in my life, which was the first thing really was exercise. Well, really it was wine first. And then it was exercise because the wine, I cut down on the wine first. And then the other thing too is my kids trust me so much more because, you know, they see that I am a different person, really. I'm not the person that I was before. So they listen to me now. You know, whenever I would say, make sure you eat healthy and whatever it was, like I have just been a big example to them. And we have gotten closer in the process. And then, you know, I always talk about my daughter with anxiety and depression and bipolar. This thought work has been, I can like back end it and help her see that she has a circumstance and that circumstance is not making her feel anything. It is the thought that she is attaching to it. And I can give her other options for thoughts to think. And that has been helpful so much in my family. So those are just some of the ways, but it really does start with that first, those four basics, learning how to keep a commitment to yourself. And then it just starts to bleed over into everything else that you do. And it is really true. It just happens. And you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't want to do it. And I did it anyway. So Azizi, what's the best way to get into the discovery worksheets? I used to do them often and have had a couple of overeats this week and haven't been motivated to do them. Do you need to be motivated to do them? Or do you just do them because you know you're supposed to? That's my question. You don't have to have motivation to do everything that you do. I am never motivated to clean a toilet, but somehow it gets done. I am never motivated to wash dishes. I hate washing dishes. I'm never motivated to put away laundry. I just do it because it has to be done. And you do your discovery worksheet because it is that important to your weight loss. Not because you want to do it or not because, you know, you have motivation, right? You don't need motivation to do a discovery worksheet. You need, you know, commitment to yourself. You need the fact that you keep promises to yourself. You do it because you know that that is the way to weight loss. And that is your ultimate goal, whether you want to do it or you don't want to do it. And I made it easy on myself. I had them in my car. I had them in my purse. I had them in this office. I had them in the kitchen. I had them in the dining room beside my chair that I sit in, and I tended to overeat. I made it super easy. I took away all of my excuses. It wasn't like, oh, well, I don't have them there at home. No, I had them with me. Well, if I didn't have to go in the office and get them. No, they're right here. You take away every opportunity you have to shit on yourself. And you just, they're right there. That's exactly, I mean, that's all there is. I do notice my habit is eating stand-up. Girl, they'd be right there with me. Discovery worksheet. Somebody, Kathy Hartman told me the other day, I had never heard it in my life. And I was like, what? Hook a discovery worksheet to your bag of chips or your Oreos or whatever, so that whenever you go in your cabinet and you open your cabinet, you see the discovery worksheet. I was like, that's genius. I wish I would have known that when I was losing weight. I already had them all over my house. They would have been all in the cabinets. I'm telling you, they would have been everywhere because they already were. Yeah, Kathy is hardcore. She's quiet, but she's hardcore. I do that with my sugar container. I had nuts that I always grab assed. And I would, I had a sticky note on the top of them that said, is this on your plan? They were everywhere, y'all. I'm telling you. Allie, hi, I'm having trouble with the result and action line in general and any model. I think I mix them up. Can you help me? Allie, can you post one of your models that you've recently done in the Q&A? I will give you time to go find it. But I want you to see the actions are your actions, right? Like they're things that you do. You follow your plan. You, I don't know. Let me see. I'll look at one of mine. I mean, because, you know, I do them every all the time. Every all the time. I did a model the other day about today. I will show you. Because they're, you know, I'm just, they're always right here with me. Let's see. So I had my, I had a lot to do the other day. So it was like my circumstance was today. That was my circumstance today. And then my thought was, I am not sure I'm ready for this. Whoops. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not sure I'm ready. And then I was anxious. Okay. So when I am anxious, I know myself. So I procrastinate. See, that's an action. Well, it's not, it's an inaction, really, right? You're not doing what you know you should be doing. I question myself. And then I don't do my tasks that I needed to get done. And then my result was, I am never ready to be the next version of myself. So I'm never ready to be. So that was my result. So I had all the things in here that I was actually going or not going to do. And then the result always goes back up to your thought line, right? It is some sort of a reflection of your thought line. It doesn't have to be exact. Sometimes it is, doesn't have to be. But mine was, I am never ready to be the next version of myself. Okay, so that is how it works. And then my intentional one, let's end it on a happy note. I'm going to do one task at a time. That was what, because I was kind of feeling anxious, maybe even a little bit overwhelmed. So I'm going to do one task at a time. That made me feel calm. I make a list. I finish one item before I move on to the next item. And then my result, I step into my future self one task at a time. So that was my model the other day when I felt like I had a lot going on. So I hope that helps. But yeah, so your actions usually, they are just what you're doing. And then your results always somehow usually reflect what is going on in your thought line. Anonymous, I'm struggling to assess whether my food choices are getting me to where I want to be and if this is some of why I am not losing weight consistently. The only way I think I can or could tell as I see it is to start putting in more diet food, like eating salads and chicken and broccoli, but that comes with old diet rules and is not how I want to live. The only ones that is clear that could impact is the number of exceptions. How can I get clarity and assess? I don't eat the same thing every day. Should I do this although I've never liked this? Or is this the old diet and fat girl thinking and I really need to just work on my 2-2? Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest. Work on my 2-2 rather than food types. Are we still doing good, better, best? As I have not heard much about this lately too. You can still do good, better, best. So for those of you that don't know what good, better, best is, it's just making... You would go out, right? Like you could either make a good choice, which would be like barbecue chicken. I don't even know. Barbecue chicken. And then a better option would be like, I don't know, some other kind of buffalo chicken. I don't even know. And then the best option would be just plain grilled chicken. So if you were like good would be like a diet soda. better would be like unsweetened tea, and the best would be water. And it's just a way to gauge, like when you go to a restaurant, what kind of choice you made. We used to use that a lot in the tribe, and some people still do use it, and you absolutely can use it. Kathy Hartman, again, it's like she's here with us, says best decision. And I like best decision. So if I'm going to go out to a restaurant and I really want to stay, like really be mindful of what I'm choosing to eat, a lot of times I will write best decision on mine. That means to me that I am going to go in and I may not choose something fried. I may not choose, you know, a bun with my burger, that kind of stuff. If I write on my plan, I'm just going to eat to my positive two. It's like, it's whatever. If I'm going to eat whatever I want to eat, I'm not going to be too concerned about it. So this is what I want you to do. Before you start to level up food, this is for everyone. Before you start to level up food, make sure that you have your hunger scale dialed in for meals and for snacks. Y'all, it's so important. And if you go ahead and dial in that hunger scale, and then you notice that you are still not losing weight, that is when you look at the choices of food that you're ready to level up, right? So, but I wouldn't suggest like really leveling up until you get your hunger scale dialed in, because you really don't know what your body is responding to, right? So it could be that you just need to dial in your hunger scale, not change your food at all, right? So that's what I would suggest doing first. And then you can always, you do need to work on the diet food, salads and, chicken and broccoli and all that kind of stuff. Because those are just healthy foods, right? They're just foods that fuel your body. So I hope that helps. Sarah, I'm back on track planning. Day 5. Woo-woo. Good job. I've also done 5 discovery worksheets for Overeats Off Plan Eats. I do them the day after, but right after the overeat, I'm beating myself up in the head. What are some things I can do to stop the chatter if I can't do a worksheet then? You're just going to have to remind yourself that an overeat is no reason to beat yourself up. It's a learning opportunity. That's exactly what I would say. You know, this is going to be a good opportunity for me to learn. I'm no longer a person who beats myself up in my own head. I'm no longer a person who throat punches my own self. I mean, that's kind of where I would go. And just remind yourself. And it's still going to come in, right? I mean, you can't just decide that you're going to have a new thought and then like, voila, here's my new thought. I've decided it. I'm putting it on and I'm going to wear it forever. The other, you're going to hear like, I can't believe you did that. That's so crazy. Nope. I am no longer a person who beats myself up. It's a learning opportunity. And I mean, the thoughts are still going to come. And then, you know, 2 seconds later, it's like, but you know, you're not going to lose weight. But that was, you know better than that. Nope. I'm not a person who does that anymore. Redirect, redirect, redirect. Right. So, I mean, that is what it takes. And you have to do it over and over. And then that's the beauty of it. The more you redirect your brain and the more, like, some people don't like to hear those thoughts. I love to hear them because then I can counteract them. And the more you do that, the less you hear them. The more you do it, the less you hear them. And so every time that you catch that thought, be like, I caught you. We're not thinking that right now. Or I'm no longer doing that. Like, that's where I would go with it. Anonymous. So yesterday I planned my food, but my mom made banana bread in the afternoon and I had a bite, not even a slice. Anyway, I made my discovery sheet, but I was answering the question. I didn't have like a breakthrough or like a huge illumination moment. It was like, okay, it was easy for me to break a promise to myself. Is that okay? I feel like it was so simple, nothing super broken. I mean, it's whatever you discover about yourself, right? Like it's just, and the other thing too is not every discovery worksheet is going to give you a light bulb aha moment. It's just not. It's just not how it works. The reason that we do them every time, even for every single bite of food, is really, I mean, it is to discover something because you will do them and you will have like an aha moment. The other reason is to see patterns. Like maybe the next time your mom makes banana bread or makes a treat, you notice you do this again. and you're like, dang, that happened last time. Then what you start to do is decide, like, maybe the thing that you would try next time would be, when my mom makes banana bread in the afternoon, I'm going to either ask her the day before if she, you know, could you just let me know when you're going to make banana bread? Cause I'd love to put it on my plan because I like it when it's warm. You could do that. That could be on your action plan. And then if she doesn't tell you, another one of your actions that you might be willing to try is that as soon as you see it, you'll be like, could you please wrap a piece up for me? I do not want to miss out on that so I can plan it for tomorrow. Like, that could be some stuff on your action plan. So that's the good part about doing them, even for one bite of food that you think is not that big a deal, because you'll start to notice patterns. And right, if she does this often and you're doing it a lot, it will impact your weight loss. So it is something that you need to look at. But, you know, not every discovery worksheet is going to send off fireworks like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. You know, sometimes it's just get in the habit of doing them and then starting to notice your patterns. Because that's really, I overeat when I'm tired, when I am sick or hurting, mostly. That's really what drives my overeats. Almost all the time. I mean, every once in a while, there's an outlier somewhere, something weird going on, but normally that's what it is. So, y'all, we don't have any more questions. Y'all get any more questions? You got questions, we got answers. Let's see, I'm trying to look and say, oh, here comes one. Michelle, I need help forming my compelling reason into a positive statement. My current compelling reason is to stop being obsessed with my weight. I feel like this is truly what I want, but it seems like a negative statement. It is. But however, you are on here with me and I will help you out. Your current compelling reason is to stop being obsessed with my weight. So your compelling reason would be to be content with my weight. Right? Because if you're content, you're not obsessed. So, yeah, I know. Michelle, you know what, though? It's so funny because it is whenever, like, I talk to Betsy or I talk to Kathy or, like, I have my own coach, whatever it is, and they'll point out, I'm like, what? Why didn't I think of that? When it's our own, we're like, oh my God, that was so simple. But in our head, we're like so married to that thought. You can't just see the flip up. It's crazy. That is why you're in the membership here with us, so that you have four life coaches in your pocket all the time. We are always here to help you out. Anonymous, I've lost 25 pounds and I cannot seem to get past this. I am on plan for a few days and off for the rest of the week. I feel like I'm self-sabotaging and I still have about 80 pounds to lose. I really want this. The food comforts me and I'm trying to find other ways to comfort yourself. The food does not comfort you. That's the last time you're allowed to say that. It doesn't comfort you. Right now, you're not feeling comfortable. You are 80 pounds. You still have 80 pounds to lose. And you're not comfortable with yourself. So it has not comforted you at all. I mean, we'll go down the road and be honest, right? It has not comforted you. And that's just a story that you tell yourself so that you can eat. And listen, I was saying, well, it was my friend, so it was mine, all of that stuff. But whenever I like, my big one was, it was my friend. And this is exactly how I got off of that. I was writing one day and I was like, would my friend make me not fit in my pants? Would my friend allow me to sit in a chair and break it at a cookout in front of everyone? Would my friend allow me to hang out with them just so that I could beat myself up? What kind of friend is that? It's not a friend. And I really like got into like what a real friend was and what the food was. And I completely divorced the idea that it was my friend, because that was my big one. So I want you to really divorce the idea that gives you comfort, right? And your comfort is coming from a thought, you know, that this food comforts me. You can choose to have a different thought. I'm no longer a person who gets comfort from food. Food only solves my hunger. It does not comfort me. So this is the good thing about, you didn't mean for me to go off on a tangent on that. I know. I'm going to get back to your question. You've lost 25 pounds and you can't seem to get past this. I'm on plan for a few days and off the rest of the week. Here you go. You have a pattern. You can always correct a pattern, right? So the first few days, you have a thought. I'm doing this. I'm back on it. I'm going to work it hard. This is it. This is whatever. Midweek, you have another thought about weight loss, about eating on your plan, about whatever it is. You have a different thought, which leads you to a different feeling, different action, different result, eating off plan or not making your plans or whatever it is you're doing, right? So I want you to remind yourself midweek, when you know it is your pattern to go off of your plan, and I want you to write down exactly why you're not gonna, why you're gonna follow your plan. Why am I gonna follow my plan? What do those first week, beginning of the week thoughts look like compared to what do the second half of the week thoughts look like? Because they're different. They're not the same. And that's what you want to look at. And the other thing too is, you can also, like, let's say you always go off plan, or you have been going off plan on Wednesday. Like, I noticed that I always make plan on Wednesday. Plan super realistically on Wednesday. Include things that you normally, you know, don't include in your plan. Make it so easy on Wednesday to follow your plan. If you know that you're always going off on Wednesday, make it so simple to follow your plan on Wednesday that there's no way you're not going to follow your plan on Wednesday. And then you'll be like, oh my God, I collected an extra day. I could really do this. I've never, you know, been able to follow a plan on a Wednesday, and today I did. Like, that is where you start to level up. Because if you always go off plan on Wednesday, and then Wednesday comes and you're like, well, I don't know what happened. I went off plan. You have got the opportunity to figure it out, to figure out what thoughts you were having and then how they changed middle of the week, so that you can set yourself up for success and get some more days. So that's what I want you to do. I want you to really write about and think about, what are those thoughts? How are they different for me? Because something different, you're having different thoughts. Allie, how do you get your 64 ounces of water? Do you have any strategy? It's a gallon. I drink a gallon. So I will tell you how I got started drinking my water, because, you know, now I've leveled up to a gallon. And I was working at the nursing home at the time. So, you know, I had a job. I had patients all day. I couldn't keep water with me all the time. So I had a schedule. When I woke up in the morning, I drank 16.9 ounces. I drank a bottle of water. Like, I weighed, because I weigh every day. I weighed and I drank a whole bottle of water. And then before I left home, I drank another bottle of water before I left my house. And then before I could get my first patient, I had to have another bottle of water in. So I had like definite stops in my day, you know, and then like before I could go back after lunch, I could have another bottle of water in. And so I definitely found like breaks in my day that were like super easy breaks for me, like to kind of identify when I would drink another bottle of water. And I'm talking about, I would down it. I couldn't be a sipper. I couldn't carry water around, treat my patients. So I would guzzle it. It was like, and I'm going to tell y'all, when I would get behind, knowing I was going to be peeing all night, I would not let my head rest without that 64 ounces. I would be standing in my kitchen needing 20 ounces, knowing, drinking the whole time, knowing I'm going to be up peeing all night long. But I was not, it was a non-negotiable for me from the beginning. But I really did, I just found like easy pauses in my day. And then I would always set it out early, like set out my water bottles early in the morning, because I drink room temperature water anyway. So I don't care anything about cold water. Some people do, which, you know, that'll make a little bit of a difference. I would guzzle it. I was like, this water is getting in my body. But I'm telling y'all, when I found PMP, I drank coffee from the time I woke up until 5 o'clock. And then I drank wine from 5 o'clock to the time I went to bed. And it was the joke, y'all. It was a joke. I would sometimes drink a sip of water, like at a restaurant or something. And if I would get choked, my friends would always be like, it's not coffee or wine. MJ's body is rejecting it. Because really, and now I drink a gallon. They still are like, who the hell are you? I am a girl who drinks a gallon of water a day. So I hope that was helpful. That's what I did. It seems like I can stick to my plan and hunger scale perfectly when I'm totally stress-free, not working, doing whatever I want. But when I have any type of stressor, I eat. Where do I start? So I would start working on your thoughts about stress. That's what I would start working on. Because whatever thought that you're having, so like, oh, this is so much. You know, this is too much. I can't get all this done. Whatever it is that's leading you to like stress or overwhelm, your action is to eat. So you could even do a model about, I am no longer a person who eats for stress. Because you just have always probably associated stress and eating. That is your habit. That is what you have done. I feel stress and I eat. It's like they go hand in hand. Right? They just do. Like salt and caramel. God love them. So that's just what you've always done. So you just need to recognize that. Be like, stress is not a reason to eat. Stress is a reason to handle my business. And just really start to be aware when you are starting to feel like you're stressed. Be like, I know this is when I normally eat, but I'm not doing that today. I am not going to be a person who eats over stress. And then really start working around your stress. Because, right, you can always change your thought about whatever is causing you stress. Like the other day, whenever I was anxious, I'm not sure I'm ready for this. I mean, that was a little stressful for me as well. Then I'm like, I'm going to handle this one task at a time. Now, did I still have a lot going on that day? Yes. But I kept settling myself into, my brain would start to spin a little bit and try to go back to like, I'm not ready. There's no way I can handle this. It's too much. Kind of stressed, kind of feeling the stress. I'd be like, no, I just have to do this one thing at a time. It's all I can do. So I would really work on your models and your thoughts around stress, because that is where it is coming from. Because you can always choose to lower it. And that's what we were talking about earlier with the coronavirus. It doesn't have to be unicorn and rainbows. It can just be a thought that brings the temperature down just a little bit to give your head some room to think. It doesn't have to be like, you know, the sound of music running through the hills. It's just got to be something that gives you a pause and gives you 1 second to step back and be like, right? That's what you need. You need a breath. Anonymous, I keep not doing my plan. How can I make myself do it every day? I was doing it and then I stopped. I started, but I keep forgetting. Put it somewhere. Put it right next to your phone. Because you know you're going to get your phone every day. Where are you going to be that you know you will be every single day? You pee every morning, put it right by the toilet. I pee and I write my plan. Whatever it is, wherever you need for it to be. That is where it needs to be, staring you in the face like those discovery worksheets. And then the minute, there will be days that you'll forget. You'll be like, ah, shit, I forgot. That is when you pull out your handy dandy sticky note and you write it immediately, immediately. Wherever you are, you write it on a napkin. You write it on, I don't care what you write it on. Write it on your hand. It does not matter. And then the minute you get home, you put it back in that 24-hour plan. You just cannot, because I know, Anonymous, I've done it. Like, I've done it. you're like, ah, shit, I forgot to write my plan. That's the cash shit more. You think about it, right? Because you think about it, you know, you think about it. Dang, I didn't write my plan. When that thought comes in, that's when you write your plan. Because it comes in your mind. I know it does. And I am telling you, if you don't even think about it until 8 o'clock at night, you are still not in the bed. It is not too late to write a plan. You can write a plan from now until you go to bed, just to stay in the habit. I read Atomic Habits. I'm telling you, there are several quotes in my life that changed my life. Atomic Habits by James Clear. He says, once is a mistake, twice is the start of a new habit. So you forget your plan one day, it's a mistake. The next day is the start of a new habit of not writing your plan. And I am going to tell y'all, if I don't get my water in one day, I for damn sure ain't going to miss it twice, because I don't want to get in that habit, right? You will rarely see me do something 2 days in a row. After I read that, I was like, that is brilliant. And I live by that. Once is a mistake, twice is the start of a new habit. And I will not miss something twice. And that should, I'm telling you, it works. It works. But Anonymous, the minute you realize, you're like, dang, I forgot to write my plan. That's when you write your plan. Even if it's 7 o'clock at night, it doesn't matter. It's never too late to write your plan. Never. Maria, I want to plan lots of snacks. So I have choices. Any advice? You can plan lots of snacks if you want. Just make sure that when you eat them, that you are hungry. You know, you can have, a lot of times I write, a couple choices down for dinner. You know, or you could write, you know, 4 or 5 choices down for snack. And then your 1% level up is like snacks that you realize you don't necessarily eat very often. Or like, you're like, I write this down every day. I've been eating it in 3 weeks. That could be your level up. Take that one snack off of your plan. How did you become a coach? You all are amazing. I'm not graduated yet. I'm finished with the life coach school. I graduate on Monday. So excited. So I will be certified on Monday, which thrills my soul. So final exams are in. I have not gotten an email, so I've passed everything. So that makes me super happy. And then I will have 6 more months left of coaching school, the life coach school coaching. They do another 6 months of like intensive coaching training. Like we do a lot more. I'm going to do a lot more practicing so I can get better. And they're going to teach us how to like make classes and how to host Zoom calls. Hello, I'm doing all right here. You know, like some of the stuff that I'm already doing, but then it'll push me outside of my comfort zone a little bit. So I'm super excited about that, but I will be certified. I really am already. I just am waiting on the email. It's an official. That's our graduation ceremony, is an email. So I'm waiting on the email on Monday. So, but that is where we went, the life coach school. Paula, I'm struggling with +2 in stats. I feel like I should be satisfied and not necessarily full because, my snack items are sometimes not filling. Do I change to a more filling snack or just my feeling expectations for being full? No, you don't have to eat a snack to +2 if you don't want to. You always want to be at a -2, but like a lot of times, like for me, I'll be honest, I ate some nuts before I came on this call because I'm super hungry and I didn't have time to eat dinner yet. So I knew that I was going to be eating at 7, but I knew that y'all would hear my stomach growl. So I ate a handful of nuts and I by no means got to a +2, but y'all haven't heard my stomach growl, so we're good. So, you don't have to eat it to a +2, just like you don't have to eat all the snacks that you plan either. That's fine as well. A lot of people like, you know what? I got like 2.5 hours to dinner or whatever. For me, it was like 1.5 hours to dinner. And I was just really, really hungry. I hadn't eaten since this morning. And I wanted to be clear of mind for y'all. And I didn't want you to hear my stomach growl. So I ate some nuts and raisins and I'm fine now, but I did not, I by no means ate to a +2. Yes. Can we make an intentional model with PCOS? So she has posted, a model for PCOS. Y'all are really making me write today, and y'all know this is not my spiritual gift. I am just not the greatest at writing. I need this, like, in a better way. I need a place where I can stand up. I need all the things. Let's erase. I got a little bit happy with my arrows and all kinds of craziness. Y'all had me going crazy on this board. Okay. Let us see. And I will write it because she's written it. I'm gonna show y'all. So her circumstance is PCOS. Her thought, it's super hard to lose weight. I'm sorry about my handwriting, y'all. One day I'll hire somebody to come and do this. I should have my children come in and like write for me. Frustrated. And then you eat. It says, eat like I don't care about my health. And don't pay attention to her body. Don't pay attention. And then your result, which you did a great model. It's really difficult to lose my weight. Yeah, to lose my weight. Y'all know what that, because y'all don't need to see my chicken scratch anymore. Okay. Anything else? See, you can't, it's just, Anyway. All right. So this is what we have been talking about all night long. You don't have to shoot for PCOS. Like it's going to be the easiest thing in the world to lose weight. That's not the thought that you're wanting to go for. It's not realistic to go for that thought. But I also want you to see, I have been holding this in. You are frustrated, not because of your PCOS. It's your thought. It's super hard to lose weight. So you just need some wiggle room from this thought. Just a little bit of wiggle room. So I am open to believing that I can lose this weight, right? I am open to believing that it is possible to lose weight. I am not quitting on myself no matter what. I will lose weight with love for myself, right? Those are the thoughts that you're wanting to get to at first, right? It's those little ladder thoughts. I'm open to believing that it's possible to lose this weight. Or I know if I show up for myself, I can lose this weight. I know if I follow the four basics, I can lose this weight. And that makes you probably feel hopeful, right? It gives you a feeling of hope. And when you feel hopeful and you have the thought, I know that the four basics work and I can lose weight with them, or I'm open to believing that I can lose this weight, and you feel hopeful. I mean, what does a hopeful person do, right? They follow the four basics. They eat like they care about themselves. So that's what I want you to do. I want you to find a thought. I want you to find the thought that you can believe right now that is a ladder up. Just a little wiggle room to make you think that maybe it could be true. I'm not asking you to believe it's going to be super easy to lose weight with PCOS. That's not where we're going. We're going with, I'm open to believing, or I'm willing to believe that with the four basics, I can lose this weight. I'm working anonymous. I'm working on my last 20 pounds. I've been stuck at this weight for a year, but joined the tribe in January. I seem to just be hovering here. Any advice on getting to that goal? Your hunger scale. This is the truth. You can measure your water. You know for sure you can measure your water. If it's gone at the end of the day, check. You know, you can write your plan because it's written every day. And you know how much sleep you're getting. There's only one basic that is left up to your own interpretation. That is your hunger scale. So if I were you, I would pick one side of the hunger scale to focus on for 30 days. Either you're going to really hone in on your negative two and you're going to find it like a boss, or you're going to work on your positive two. Now, that does not mean that you eat with reckless abandon on one end of the, you know, if you decided to find your negative two, you're going to just eat like a jackwagon on the other side. It means that, you know, I'm going to stop when I'm satisfied. I'm not so worried if it's a two or a three or whatever right now. I'm going to still stop when I'm satisfied, but I am super like laser focused on this negative two. And see what you learn. I'm telling you, that is where it is every time. That is every time, that's where it is. I find that since I've added DSB training, I'm hungry in the afternoon for a snack. But if I eat two or three at lunch, I stay satisfied until dinner at 6 or 6:30. Is this okay? I'm basically in maintenance and not seeing the scale go up. But when losing my weight, an afternoon snack was a habit I broke. Now I have thoughts I may have old habit brain will kick in. I want to know, this is what I want you to do. I want you to keep your hunger scale like it was, and I want you to add some fats into lunch. Because really, we are not exercising so much that you would necessarily need a snack. I mean, because we're just now to the 7 mile mark. So I don't, if you're doing the half, if you're doing other, you know, a lesser one, I would just try to add in some fats and see what happens. You know, make sure that you're, if you're eating a salad, it's full fat, put some cheese on it, maybe put an avocado on it, something like that. You know, even like a teaspoon of olive oil in your dressing, put some fat in it and see if that helps. And if it does not, if you are still legit hungry and you want to eat lunch to a plus three and you are happy as a clam with your results, you know, that's what we always talk about. You have to like your reason, right? So if you love your reason for why you're eating to a plus three at lunch and you are extremely happy with the results, then that's exactly what you would do. But I also think add some fats. Laura, I start my new job next Wednesday. I am because I say I am, and I am enough has been on my plan TDL every day since last week when I asked you how you talked about becoming our new coach. Any more words of wisdom? You know what? Just enjoy it. And you know what? That's what I've done with this job. Take the opportunity to be a beginner. Nobody expects you to know everything, so ask everything. So, you know, it's like starting kindergarten when you start a new job, right? So, no, everybody's nice to you, and nobody expects you to know everything, and nobody gets frustrated whenever you ask questions. So, ask all the questions. Be a real beginner. Like, don't go in acting like you know something. Ask all the questions. Just go in like you're such a beginner and enjoy the process. That's what I would do. And just be your fabulous self. That's the other thing I would do. What do you see as the benefits of weighing in daily? I like it myself. Some people don't. It really, the benefit is personal to yourself. I just like it. I don't know. It keeps me more on track. It really has helped me though. Like I know if I eat Chinese food tomorrow, I will be up 4 pounds. Like it taught me that. Like I know now kind of what foods kind of caused me to gain weight. Not even gain weight, but like show a blip in the scale. It comes right back off. I also know that if for some reason I don't get a whole gallon of water in one day, the next day I'll get a gallon of water in. And the day after that, I hold on to fluid. I'm up like 3 pounds. Like, I just like knowing that kind of stuff about myself. That's why I like it. But it really is personal. And if you start to like, if you are an everyday weigher and you know that it, you know, you're like looking to the mood for your scale, I mean, the scale for your mood and how you're feeling, that shit, let it go. You just have to really, again, have to like your reason. You know, if you can like legit get on the scale every day and use it as data and be like, oh, huh, I wonder if that's because I ate that. Like if you can do it for that reason, then it's awesome. That's why I do it. I mean, you have to remember, I'm a physical therapist. I'm kind of a science gal. That's my jam. I like sciencey things. Anonymous, what can you think when you cannot stop eating, even though you are not hungry anymore, but the food is too good? Well, what's better? What is good, really? What's going to be better? The food? Because you really have to, in that moment, like, I'm more blunt. Y'all know that about me. Like, I am more blunt. Like, I speak to myself like Corinne would speak to me. I've always been that way, and it doesn't make me feel bad. So for me, I would be like, is this really worth not losing weight this week? I have on my refrigerator now, is this worth the time it will take you to lose weight? It's still on my refrigerator right now. And I mean, I'm just honest. Is it really that good? Is it really worth the extra time that I'm going to have to be losing weight? It's never. No. Not when you wrap it up and have it planned for it another time. That's what I tell myself. I mean, that has been my go-to and still is. Sarah, I was looking at my discovery sheets and some of the excuses, thoughts that my brain likes to use are the food relaxes me and the opposite, the food will wake me up, which are total opposites. Can you help me think of a thought that I can start to apply in these situations? It's not like the food relaxes me. It's really my thoughts about the food relax me. It's not the food relaxing you. It's your thoughts about the food. Like, call it like it is. Like, food is just, it's your circumstance. It's just sitting there. You know, your thought is, I just want to unwind. I've had a long day. This food will relax me. Then you feel calm. The food didn't do anything. It's just sitting there, right? So, and I would, I mean, that's what it's all about, y'all. Just recognizing that they're just thoughts and be really honest. The food relaxes me. No, it doesn't. It's my thought about it that relaxes me. Just be honest. The food will wake me up. The food will not wake you up. I mean, because, you know, I was always like, eat a piece of chocolate. I'd be like, oh, God, I feel so much better. No, it hasn't even hit my bloodstream yet. It was just the act of it. I was telling myself that I was going to, you know, that I needed it or that I had to have it. It really wasn't doing anything for me at all. You know, food will help me wake up. So will a walk. So will a glass of water and getting up for a while. Right? I mean, just find other things that will do that for you and then just be, you know, insert those instead. We have gone way over and I still have several left. I'm going to answer two more and then I'm going to be done. I need some help with intentional thoughts about mothering teenagers. My teens aren't terrible, but just typical know-it-all attitudes. But by the end of the day, I find myself eating to buffer the feelings that I have no emotional energy left to deal with them. So far, this is normal teenager stuff. This is them figuring it out. Any other good mother of teen thoughts? Yeah. This is normal. And then this is mine. Because really, when they're coming in and they're laying it on you, it has nothing to do with you, right? It is they saw something on Instagram. Somebody tweeted something. They saw some, for me, I have girls. They saw some boy that they thought was hot talking to some other girl. Or, you know, somebody said something about their hair. That was always mine. Because, look, they're coming to me with a clean slate. I have been nothing but kind to them, right, all day long. So when they come in with their attitude, it has nothing to do with me. This has nothing to do with me. That is where I live and still do most of the time. Because you can't take it personally, right? It is something that has happened at school. Something that they saw on social media. Something that someone said to them. So this has nothing to do with me. And a lot of times, this is a great opportunity for you to, like my kids even said the other week, well, no, it's been about 6 months ago. My youngest daughter said, A lot of the moms are angry right now, and you're not angry because we're all going through the menopause, right? And I was like, yeah, but she's starting to notice that, like, I am not angry. And so whenever now I'm offering her up other options to think, she is listening to me. But it took a year and a half of not being mad when they would come in. You know, that's, you know, you're talking about how PMP helped me level up other areas. That's exactly where it is. Because they see you not reacting. And then when they even, you know, they know how they speak sometimes, and maybe it was not as nice as it should have been. And they're like, she didn't get pissed. I don't understand. You know, they'll start to question you and be like, oh, she's not mad. Wonder why. Because it has, and then you can always say, it has nothing to do with me. I know this is just, you know, you probably just, something's gone on. So that's a good one. Misty, when you find yourself eating off plan, what do you tell yourself to stop while putting the food in your mouth? You know, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you do a discovery worksheet and you learn from it and you figure out what started you in the first place. I have had a, you know, I've had like a cookie in my mouth and like thrown the other half of it away. But it is really just the stop of like, a lot of times I know that when I put it in my mouth, that it's not on my plan. I mean, when I go get it from the cabinet, I know, like I have that little in the back of my mind. And sometimes I'll just be like, what in the hell am I doing? What am I doing? Just throw it away. It is never too late. You can stop eating whenever you want. You get to pick. You get to take that bite, or you just get to get rid of that bite. The choice is yours, and you get to make it every single time. And if you choose to continue to eat it, it's okay, because you have a discovery worksheet that is going to tell you exactly why you chose to keep eating it. And it gives you a chance to brainstorm for the next time. And you can come up with, you know, just when you have that little thought in your head, like immediately you just throw it down. You get the opportunity to stop whenever you want. And sometimes, y'all, you're going to choose not to stop. And that's okay. That's when you learn from it, right? Corinne always says, never waste and overeat. And I would beg y'all to never waste and overeat. So I have one question from a newbie that I'm going to answer. Stephanie, I'm a newbie. I'm struggling getting started for whatever reason. I'm balking at not doing my daily plan. I think it brings back all the times I have failed in the past with past diets. I do something for an amount of time and then I stop. It just makes me think it's just like all the other diet plans. I have started and failed. I know it sounds crazy, but it's how I feel. I don't have any problems getting my water or sleep. I'm just really struggling, feeling like I can do this. Girl, this is normal. This is normal. Look, we all had doubts when we busted up in here, you know, with our shitty brains. We were like, I don't know if this is going to work. It might. I don't, look at how many times I failed. Look at how many things you have learned through your life, right? Because you're saying all these other diets didn't work. No, that's why you're here. And when is the last time that you have ever tried anything like this? Never. Absolutely never. When is the last time that you joined any kind of a thing to lose your weight and they were like, here's what we're gonna do. We're not gonna tell you what to eat. You get to pick. You get to pick whatever you want. When is the last time you've been on that diet? So you cannot compare this. This is not even in comparison to what you've done in the past, right? So you know what you've done in the past. You know that you've done it for a while and then you quit. And you know now that is not what you're going to do. Because you are going to learn through this process how to speak to yourself. Because whenever you went off in the past, right, you thought it was because the diet didn't work. And now you're learning that it was probably, I bet you, not, I'm just going to say for myself, 9 times out of 10, I ate like a jackass. And I'd be like, see, doesn't work. Doesn't work. Proved it to myself. If it worked, it would be easy. I mean, that was me for sure. Then I found Corinne and I was like, wait a minute, you can overeat like all the time and still lose weight? It's crazy. It blows my mind. So that's what you want to keep reminding yourself. I'm going to try this because I ain't never tried shit like this in my life. And MJ's on fire about it. Something's got to be going on in there, right? You have never had any plan that you've been on before that has worked on your brain. And the thoughts that you say to yourself and the stories that you tell yourself, never. So this is different. And whenever you start thinking all the stuff, say, I'm not even listening to any of this because this is something I've never done before. Corinne says it. Your past is your teacher, not your fortune teller. Right? I mean, I had never driven before until I drove. I had never written a check until I wrote a check. Right? I have been where you are, Stephanie. I have been where you are. I tried. Look, I've Weight Watchers. Some kind of like B12 injections, all the Phentermine or not Phentermine, I guess it is. What's the diet pill? All of it, every last one of it. And it doesn't work until the last time. And I found my last time. I think you have too, Stephanie. I think you have found your last time. Just give yourself a chance. Open your mind up. This is what we've been talking about, these little ladder thoughts. I'm willing to believe that this will be different. I'm willing to believe that I'm going to figure this out. I'm open to believing that this is going to work. I'm willing to do what I need to do to lose this weight. It doesn't have to be, this is going to be perfect and it's going to be awesome and I'm going to lose all my weight and I'm never going to hit a plateau and life is going to be good. No. You just have to let your mind imagine for a minute that this is the time. All right, y'all. I always go along with y'all. Y'all always go along with y'all. But I enjoyed it. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I hope you got a lot from it. And I will see you all soon. Bye, y'all.